on December 26th, one day, we all came together and sat around the table and were given the task of, what do we do? What are each of our comparative advantages as government agencies to trying to contribute to some stability in Iraq? What can we all bring to the table, not just militarily, but also economically and politically? And so together we really came together and put together a plan. You know, on the State Department side, it was a push on the political side, key laws that needed to be passed, working with Iraqis. On our side, it was more on the economic front. And from our perspective, it was all about jobs. How can we create more jobs? Not just short-term jobs to get cash into the economy, but jobs that will also last. And so, as I said, you know, we really did come together, and I think we're now seeing the results of that surge.
And when civilians from the United States appear in Iraq, do they generally get a decent reception among the average Iraqis? I mean, it's a different situation than possibly when they see soldiers.
Yes, yes. And many of my military colleagues actively try and have us come out with them into, you know, the cities of Iraq, into the rural areas of Iraq, so that Iraqis can see a civilian face. It's much less, obviously, intimidating to see someone without weapons and whatnot. It also extends the notion that this is really a partnership because we're working with the Iraqis. We're working with them and helping them identify what their goals are and how they can go about achieving them.
And so the civilian surge that you're discussing, it really is about the rebuilding of the country, using U.S. Intelligence, and I mean it in a different sense than the formalized intelligence agencies, but U.S. Best practices, I guess, to teach the Iraqis contracting and acquisition management, project oversight, that kind of thing? Or, you know, can you give us a sense of the breadth of the experience that was shared to get this off and running?
Yeah, it is partly that. You know, in the Iraqi government, especially at the provincial level, under Saddam Hussein, you're talking about a very statist, socialist economy and government, and it was not one dedicated to meeting the needs of its people. So while you have enormous resources, you don't really have a capacity for actually delivering services to all Iraqis. There are lots of services delivered to Baghdad, but the rest of the country, not so much. So it's about reaching out and getting across the country, especially at the provincial level, and teaching them, here's how you do a procurement that'll be open and transparent so that you can get the best value for your money. And the people be rest assured that they're going to get a service, and it's not just a service that is benefiting, you know, one's cousin or something. It's open and transparent. Here is how you do a strategic plan for your province. How do you figure out what your priorities are going to be over the next few years, develop a budget for that, and then you can go to the central government and request those resources. And then once you have that, how do you begin to implement that? Those were skills that, you know, that were just lacking because they never had the opportunity to really govern themselves, especially at a provincial level before. Another aspect of it is the private sector. It was a very statist economy, and trying to undo that to go to more of a private sector model, which ultimately will generate far more jobs. But there were no financial institutions in the country whatsoever. And especially if you're a poor Iraqi, there's just no access to resources or credit whatsoever. So we've had a large microfinance program, and that was a key component to our efforts in the surge, was expanding microfinance so that especially a poor Iraqi would have access to resources that would allow him to create a small business, oftentimes out of their home.
Yeah, what would be an example of a micro resource or a micro type of business that might be funded by these micro loans?
Okay. Well, one example was a gentleman who is in Anbar province. As things started to settle down there, there was a real desire for kids to go back to school, but oftentimes it was too far for them to get to the local school. So he took out money on a microfinance loan to buy a bus. And he opened a school bus business. And it benefited the community because it enabled the kids to get to go to school. And he had then an income for himself and his family.
Good idea. Jeannie Pryor is our guest this morning. She's the Deputy Director for the Iraq Office of USAID. And how much of USAID is still in Iraq and working on these challenges and involved in this whole process?
We are still there in full force. During the surge, we effectively doubled our American staff presence there. But more importantly, you know, most of our programs are implemented by NGOs and other organizations. We had approximately 4,000 people on the ground in Iraq throughout the country implementing projects, of which more than 3,500 are Iraqi. And that's another key element of the success of the surge, is that it really relied on Iraqi resources, tapping into their own resources. You have a fairly well-educated population, very hardworking, incredibly courageous. And so we were able to use those resources to really maximize the results of our programs.